Hello, and welcome back to Secrets in Nature.
Oh my god, you watched Anchorman last night and now you're in anchor mode.
Yeah, that's probably why that came out of me.
What is this, action news?
Yeah, basically, this is the news.
You should listen to us instead of the news.
You should watch Anchorman.
Or don't.
You like stupid movies.
Or don't. It's okay. It's okay at best.
Anyways, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Lexi.
And
this is our second time recording this. Because
there's a bit too, emotions were high last time we recorded this, so.
Yeah, we already had a whole episode recorded. We addressed Roe v. Wade, but it was really like our first time talking about it with each other. And it just like happened to be in front of microphones. So it just became like a vent sesh. And I think it was needed, but after listening back, we decided to revisit it. And here we are. Day three of recording the same episode, but here we are.
So obviously everyone knows what happened. And if you don't, do you live under a rock? But seriously, I think everyone knows. And we just want to talk about it, kind of go over the facts, share our opinions, that kind of stuff. Since we are women, and this directly affects women. So I think we have the right to share our opinions. And I thought we could start with a quote that I really liked. And it's, "My values are not the standard." So the person that said this was That Nurse Missy on TikTok. And I just really like this quote because it's true. Like, just because you have a belief or a value does not mean that it's above someone else's beliefs or values, or that it's the correct belief. So I think more people need to realize that.
Yes, I like that quote. That quote was in our previous recording, and I was like, that we're bringing with us.
Okay, well, I guess we should state our opinions on it. And mine is that every woman deserves the right to choose what happens to her body. And that's that.
I agree. My opinion's longer.
Well, that's the short
version. My opinion's significantly longer. Well, okay. So sometimes it feels like nothing about our society is designed to make women feel empowered. And that can be a long discussion. We actually will dive into like specifics of that when we post our interview with Casey Goins. But I think I've kind of been in like the headspace of feeling like cheated in a way. And I've been craving something that I never got to have that maybe women before me had at some point in time, whether that's like a sisterhood or knowledge about my body, bodily autonomy, the feeling of like fully knowing you are equal to your counterparts, because like there was nothing about society to convince you otherwise. And that seems like an unrealistic, like idealized society, but it had to exist at some point. And I feel like I've been feeling that like this for the past month, and the overturn of Roe v. Wade really only contributed to the anger and sadness that was already there. But this is what I want to say about it. It's heartbreaking to think of the countless women that will be affected by this, women that are within an endless spectrum of circumstances that most people probably couldn't even begin to comprehend. And I think that a person has every right to think that abortion is sad or to never get one if they don't want one. But the fact that it can't just stop there, and that this will now has to be imposed upon so many women that will not get to choose. Like, I can only imagine the trauma that an abortion may already inflict upon a woman when that is truly the best choice for them, because the shame and the judgment and the stigma was already there. But you had that, like you were empowered in your choice. And the level of emotional and physical trauma that so many women have and will experience against their will, or the incredibly dangerous situations they can be put in with no way out. And it just feels like 500 steps back for the time period that we're in. But I think an important thing that we need to remember right now is that as women, feeling our emotions to the fullest and like allowing them to develop based on our unique ability to perceive the world, like unique to our feminine minds, are aspects of like the beautifully designed way that we were meant to contribute to society. We literally evolved to contribute with our emotions and our like emotional intelligence. And we'll get into that later when I talk about the alphabet versus the goddess. But like, I'm grateful for that ability, and I'm grateful to feel the pain physically when I think of rights being taken away from others, or when I think about like harm being done to the earth and like things like that. And I also think that the rage and the heartbreak we are feeling is both a fresh wound and like a lingering one combined. And, you know, there are plenty of sad and awful things that will happen because of this ruling. And you don't need to like, you don't need our podcast to hear what that looks like. I mean, it's everywhere on social media if you're on social media. But what I want to say is think about the women in your life. And imagine one of them being affected by this, which I promise the odds aren't as low as you might think. And most importantly, I think that women should feel their emotions and embrace them and not back down from them or from this. Because like I said, I feel like that lingering wound of all that's been taken from us is showing up in a lot of women's lives right now and forcing them to acknowledge it. And I talked about so many very real examples of that when Casey came on the podcast. And I think the only way for anything to change or to go away is to feel it and look it right in the face. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I don't think we should avoid hard or sad things. That's never gonna change them. And I think it's interesting that, like, I've heard this throughout my life that people have asked me, why do you care if it doesn't affect you? And I just think that's a very selfish outlook to have, to not care about something because it doesn't directly affect you. Especially because just because something isn't affecting you right now doesn't mean in the future.
It won't.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought I would share. I think there's a lot of false information out there, and I thought I would share how many abortions actually take place in the United States. According to the CDC, in the last one that I see is 2019, and there was about 629,000 abortions. And there's another figure, I believe it's in like the 900,000s from, I feel like I'm going to butcher this, the Guttmacher Institute. I just feel like I'm saying that wrong. But anyways, they did their own study and got like a different number, but between one of those two numbers is about how many abortions there are. And I know a lot of people are concerned about like late term abortions, so I thought I would break it down. Okay, so 93% of abortions occurred during the first trimester, which is before 13 weeks.
What was the percentage?
93. 6% occurred between 14 and 20 weeks of pregnancy, and 1% were performed at 21 weeks or more of gestation. So, and that's from the CDC. We're looking at like between 6,000 to 9,000 that are after 21 weeks. And again, like we don't know what reasons those abortions are taking place. But yeah, it's a very small fraction. And a lot of them could be due to serious health conditions or possible death of the child or the mother. I also thought that I would share, this is from the Guttmacher Institute. Doesn't that sound like I'm saying it wrong? I don't know. Moreover, the legal, logistical, and financial barriers to abortion are growing, and these burdens are largely borne by the low-income individuals, people of color, and young people. They also said, rather than trying to coerce pregnant individuals into giving birth as their only option, and stigmatizing and targeting abortion patients and providers in the name of reducing abortion, we must center individuals' needs in the particular circumstances. That means policies must be grounded in medical ethics, including the principles of informed and voluntary consent, which support information on referral and access to all pregnancy options. Centering each person's needs also means providing affordable, high-quality contraceptive and prenatal care, making resources available to raise children with dignity, and improving access to safe and affordable and timely abortion care. And I would also like to share, there are 11.6 million children living in poverty in this country. That's 16% of all kids nationwide. And that was in 2020. So to force women to bring children into this world where there's so many living in poverty, and it makes me wonder if these politicians are so concerned with life, why are they not more concerned with the millions of children living in poverty? Just makes you wonder. So those are the stats. And if you're concerned about abortion, if you're in a state that might ban it or has already banned it, AOC has shared resources on her Instagram to like getting access to the pill and just things like that that might be useful if you find yourself in a place where you need that.
We can put that in the show notes. I also thought that it was funny. The governor of Arizona tweeted and he said, "I am proud that Arizona has been ranked the most pro-life state in the country. Here, we will continue to cherish life and protect it in every way possible." And a girl replied to it and said, "Your son made me take Plan B after we hooked up, but carry on."
Yeah, these men are such hypocrites. AOC shared on her Instagram. She said, "Arkansas governor and GOP claims to be pro-life, yet they have the third highest maternal mortality in the nation. Women and pregnant people die at staggering rates in Arkansas. Oh, 71% of those are Black women. More than one in four Arkansas children live in poverty. And they abandon nearly all of them to destitution or death." So one in four children live in poverty in Arkansas, but they are pro-life.
Yeah, I think that there's much bigger problems in the country that deserve the attention of politicians significantly more than this does. And this isn't even like these life-threatening situations upon like the mother or children being brought into poverty. Like, as awful as it is, it's only a fraction of the circumstances in which it's important that women have access to abortion.
Yeah, I just think it's a little hypocritical to say you're pro-life if you're not trying to help those who are already alive. I mean, you have over 400,000 kids in foster care. You have children dying of things that could easily be taken care of by a doctor because they don't have health insurance or money to get the care that they need. I watched a whole video about like how kids died from tooth infections because dentists can turn you away. It's not like an ER where you can just go. I think they have to accept everyone. They don't. But anyways, regardless of all of that, no one should tell you what to do with your body. And I truly believe that for every person.
I also saw something on Instagram that I shared to our story, and it said, "Death of the chill girl. Now is the time to be more insane than ever. Hysterical even." And I'm like, yes, let me share this. It's my time to shine. I'm like so here for it.
Like, hysterical should not be a bad thing. Like how it's been throughout history.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
I would just like to share that I feel like I'm lucky because I grew up, no one ever once told me what opinion to have about abortion. Like my parents never told me, like even my church, like we never, like no one ever said anything about it in church.
And which church did you grow up going to for people that don't know?
Episcopalian. So I was able to just, from a young age, when I learned what it was, it made sense to me that like, yes, if something were to happen, I can get an abortion. And women should be able to get abortions from like a child. I just think that a lot of people from young ages, they're told what to believe. So I feel like I'm lucky in that sense where that's one thing that I was never told. So from a young child, it made sense to me. Even my Italian Catholic grandmother believes in abortion. Like,
is she also the one that taught you the moon spell?
Yeah.
So now is the time to stand by your beliefs, to feel the emotions, to look at the problems right in the face, and to be more hysterical than ever. No, I'm just kidding, but you can if you want.
Yeah, I also don't think we can't change this. I think we definitely can. And I think people need to vote for sure. And speak their mind, share their opinions,
talk about it, share their stories.
And I really think that we can make this better.
Yeah, I think it's important that we're there for each other.
Be supportive of your friends and family and other women in your life. And if someone needs to vent or talk, just be there for them.
Just call me and Rachel. Just kidding. All right, so should we go ahead and give the old toss to past Lexi and Rachel to finish out our episode?
I think we should.
Rachel texted me and she said that she wanted to address Roe v. Wade on the podcast. And I was like, yes. And we had a different topic planned for this week, but I was driving in my car thinking about the pain I was feeling for women, and not necessarily myself, but for other women that will go through unimaginable horrors. And I'm also just, I feel like I've already been, like, even before this happened, I'm in a stage in my life where I just, like, craving like a sisterhood, and I'm realizing more and more how amazing and astonishing women are and how grateful I am to be one. And I also just finished The Alphabet Versus the Goddess, which it took me a year to read it. I've talked about it before on the podcast. It literally took me over a year to finish it, but I'm done. So I was already good and fired up about how much has been taken from women throughout history, even before the news of the past week. But I really wanted to spend this week's episode just talking about being a woman and why it's so great. And I will touch on some fascinating things that I learned in my book, but I think talking about them, even if it's dark, is a way that we can start reclaiming the things that may have been lost or taken in human history.
Yeah, you can't reclaim something if you never knew that it was lost.
That's true. Oh my God, that's so true. So true, bestie.
That's why I don't like when people say they don't want to talk about like sad stuff. I'm like, you have to. That's the only way to change.
I mean, many people form their belief system based on their own life experience, and that is human nature. But the more you know, the more your perception expands, and that is quite literally how we change the world.
Exactly.
Okay, so I talked about this book in past episodes, but just in case you missed it, basically, maybe Rachel will read it. Finally, after we talk about it today.
Well, it took you a year, so in a year I'll get back to you.
It was worth it, okay? I also want to like reread it because I started highlighting halfway through, like highlighting the good points, and I want to like go back and reread and re-highlight the first part. But anyway, just in case you missed it, basically the thesis of the book is that the invention of the alphabet and the written word caused like an imbalance in our human brains that manifested as misogyny and horrible atrocities throughout history. And it's just pages and pages of evidence supporting this theory. And like the gist is that the alphabet is a very masculine thing because men evolved to be predominantly left brain creatures. Obviously, we all use both sides of our brain, but men needed left brain attributes more to survive. And women predominantly used the right brain in their own perception of the world. And it's just like evolution. It's just what happened. But we process the alphabet with our left brain. So he argues that this kind of rewired us in a way and caused left brain masculine values to move to the forefront of society, and the right brain values suffered as a result. So that's like a very brief summary in case you missed my last one. But one event after another throughout history, he maps out several examples where a culture would become literate. And it was eerie how the same exact chain of events would unfold. Images were vilified. The worship of goddesses disappeared. Women couldn't perform religious sacraments. They lost their rights. They started to be treated horrifically. And it wasn't always just geared towards women, because sometimes there was just like an outright war and chaos among everyone, mostly for like religious reasons, because there was all these alphabetic sacred texts that were like being cranked out by the printing press. And it just happened like clockwork. Each time a society became literate, madness followed, chaos followed, and the amount of evidence is just like monumental. But the thing that stuck out the most to me, and the example that I want to talk about now, is that coincidentally, shortly after the printing press was invented, was when the European witch hunts began, and they lasted for like well over a century. but it wasn't just like witch hunting. It was just women hunting, really. And they suffered unimaginable torture and terror that I won't get into. But reading it, my heart like broke for these women because they were just killed for being women or for knowing a woman. So I have a few things highlighted in the book that I want to read to you guys. He says that the myths and customs of most societies provide ample evidence that men have feared the innate power of women. And it wasn't always like this. He says, in earlier times, men and women alike acknowledged the skills of female shamans. The wise woman had tucked in her bag of tricks both a plant for inducing abortion and another for preventing miscarriage. So it's like, no wonder our right to an abortion is still attacked to this day, because it could very well stem from a deep-rooted threat that men felt from women's knowledge and power. But moving on. So even though there was a time when men had the utmost respect for women and witchcraft and the goddess, and even if they did kind of start to feel threatened over time, the author says that murdering vast numbers of them was a practice, which is what they did during the witch craze. Murdering vast numbers of them was a practice unknown to history until the printing press and the European witch hunts. And he mentions the theory that the newly organized medical and scientific community conspired to destroy the populace's faith in women in order to further their own standing, which is like very believable. And he also says that many physicians, still secretly unsure of the efficiency of their new science, applauded the elimination of their competition. So, like, very interesting theories. This is why I'm, like, I've been living for this book for, like, a year now. I also want to mention that this all, like, the European witch hunts kind of all happened conveniently after the printing press was invented and when the Bible was being cranked out, and also when copies of a book called The Hammer of Witches started being printed on, like, a mass scale. It was literally a church-commissioned guide for eradicating witches. So he says the printing press made possible the wide circulation of the most scurrilous attack on womanhood since writing began. And throughout the book, whenever he explains an atrocity in history, he like paints this picture of a man holding a book in one hand and like murdering someone with, for some ridiculous reason, with the other. And it's just insane because this just happened like in so many instances, like not just towards women, like just like men just started murdering people anytime like their society became literate. Like, it's just insane. Another quote that I want to share: associated with dance, night, nature, the moon, sexuality, and procreation, witches possessed all of the attributes previously accorded with the goddess. In the joyous ancient fertility rites of field and forest, women could worship one of their own. And like, even reading that now, I get like chills because I'm like, those things all sound so beautiful and natural, and just like hearing those words like feels so right. But the fact that it was ever demonized and literally taken from us is beyond me. And it makes me wonder what knowledge has been lost, because women quite literally would die if they believed it or practiced it. I mean, they also just died for existing, but they especially couldn't practice things like that. And I wonder like what would be common knowledge today if it wasn't for like these atrocities and these attacks throughout history. And it's interesting to think that the decline of the feminine wisdom could have already been declining naturally because the left brain values were the ones being reinforced, but whatever was being held onto by certain women just became like straight up illegal.
Yeah, that's interesting to think about how from a young age, you're kind of trained to use your left brain more. It'd be interesting to know the difference between someone that's raised using their left brain more or their right brain. And also, men just love to keep women obedient and weak throughout history.
But like, these years are insane. The printing press was invented in 1436, and the first witch burning in Europe was in 1460. And coincidentally enough, the first printing press appeared in America in 1638, and the Salem witch trials took place in 1692. And in like the grand scheme of history, that's like very close together, even if it's separated by like 20 years or so, you know?
Yeah.
And Germany was where the witch craze was like the absolute worst. And that's literally where the printing press was like originated and invented.
Yeah, I mean, things definitely moved slower back then. than they do now.
I know. I know. That's why it's insane to think, like, how much technology advances over, like, 1 year now. And, like, back then it was like they had a new technology every, like, 500 years.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine, like, them trying to, like, go tell someone news in another state. It took, like, days.
No, I know. Like I said, that book takes you through human history, and he comes all the way to like World War II times, and he argues like that was really the first time that leaders were utilizing radio, and radio obviously activates a completely different part of your brain than writing does. But like even that, like he was saying, like maybe it's not even just the alphabet, but like crazy changes in the way we communicate and the way we share knowledge, like whenever that like changes in an insane way, that's like another part of his theory. Like maybe that's another reason why like madness just follows, you know?
Yeah. There's probably so many theories, and it's very fascinating. Also sad.
Well, you said you started to talk about men like to keep women weak.
Well, it's because we have different strengths than men. We obviously don't have the physical strength. But we have, I believe women are naturally more creative and more in tune with their emotions and their surroundings and nature.
Yeah, that's the right brain.
And I think men saw that as a threat. Like, oh, could they possibly be, like they don't want women to be conniving behind the scenes or planning things. Like they want to control them, so
they wanted to stay like in power.
Yeah
And it's insane, like everything you just listed are all attributes of the right brain. So like we are more in touch with our emotions, we're more creative, and also the left brain is like linear and chronological, and so is the alphabet. And the right brain perceives things all at once, so that's why like no wonder a society would become literate, images vilified because that's a right brain attribute, nature disregarded, and like anything associated with like the goddess and women was just vilified in society like overnight.
Yeah, I even think women are better at manipulating men, and I just think all these things, like they just did not want women to ever be in power, so they had to keep them beneath them. Because think about it, it looks like women are half the population.
Yeah, and we were all treated very equally, like, or we treated each other very equally until a specific moment in time. So like what happened?
Yeah, if a man's scared that half the population is going to take over,
cast a spell on him or something,
like I don't know. I just think, well, one, I've heard that women are better leaders because again they're able to put emotions into thoughts better and not make like rash decisions and not make so many decisions based on violence and trying to be the better country or the better ruler, or just like show, like I think men like to show their power a lot more,
like everything's a flex.
And not saying that there's not like women that are bad or would be bad leaders, but I just think in general, if the world over history was only ruled,
was ran by women,
yeah, it would be like completely different in a good way.
I mean, many of the leaders, because like there were like queens that also, there was a big part of European history where it's like a Protestant leader or king or queen would take over and they'd immediately be like, start murdering the Catholics. And then a Catholic king would take over and they'd be like, start murdering the Protestants. There's just so many examples. But like a lot of them were queens too. But I think like they were quite literally living in a man's world. I think that can easily be explained away by just like the rewiring of our brains because of the alphabet, and also like we were living in a man's world.
Yeah, she's ruling a man's world. She's not ruling a woman's world, you know.
Oh my God! And when you brought up like men like to keep us weak, we have an interview coming up. It's coming out next week, and I really want to talk about this with her. Just the fact that like we even now, men have a 24-hour circadian rhythm and women are 28-day cyclical beings. So how can you say like we're still not living in a man's world, or like they expect our bodies to function like a man's body every day and expect us to work like a man, you know?
Yeah, even I've even learned that exercising, you should do your routine around your cycle.
Yes, like your body like has different strengths depending on the phase you're in.
Yeah, when I'm on my period, is it the week before you're on your period? I forget. I don't even know the cycles. Like, We're so like,
because no one taught them to us.
We so lack education on this stuff. It's crazy. But there is a point where like I can definitely feel like my body's weak and it's so much harder to do like certain workouts. And like when I would see that like a video about that on TikTok, it like made so much sense.
And it also makes you want to cry because it's like no one told me this. And it's not really like, you know, whenever I work out, look up a workout video, I want to be like, OK, but is this the way like a man should do it? And is the way a woman should do it different? And like it's just not as studied, like, you know,
it's not like when you get a personal trainer education, like they don't teach you that stuff. So it's just crazy. Like everything is based on what's best for a man.
I know, like there's literally like, so you have like your 4 weeks or your 4 phases, and like one of the phases you have the highest endurance, and that's when you should be doing like HIIT and like cardio and stuff. And then another week is when you have the most like is when like when you should be relaxing. Like it just, it's very complex, and it's just more of a testament to how we are expected to live in a man's world. And please tune in next week because I think that interview is going to be amazing. And we're going to touch on all these things that should be talked about since middle school health, but it's just not. So
I think this day and age with social media and the internet, knowledge is being spread so much more. And we're learning about this stuff and our eyes are getting opened.
And people are like, shit, let's do something to control them.
Yeah, it's interesting how now, like, again, they're trying to take our rights away.
They're fighting back. Yeah. I don't know. I just think like this line where he says like the wise woman, which is literally what the word witch means. Not the first time we've said that on this podcast, but had tucked in her bag a plant for inducing abortion and a plant for preventing miscarriage. Like this shit has been around since the beginning of time. And women were the ones that knew how to do it because they were the ones that were tuned into nature. And yeah, there's natural abortives. Like there's a remedy for everything and there are natural abortives. And the women just knew what did what. And like it's hard to not believe that all of this has been like evolved to how can we take this power away from women. Also, did you ever have to read the yellow wallpaper in school?
No, I never heard of it.
I had to read it in high school and I wrote a research paper on it, and then I also read it in college. Honestly, that guy was a king. It was a man that was leading the class, but he had us read this story. And we talked about like the original meaning of words before on the podcast, but the word hysteria, which is used today to mean like overly emotional, it has like a very negative connotation, but it derives from the Greek word for womb. And it's so funny because he says no superstition that any group of women has ever believed has come close to the level of psychosis that seized the most educated male elite during the European witch craze. But I wanted to touch on the topic because I actually learned about the root of that word in the class in college. And it's just insane how hysteria is yet another word that originally meant something positive and having to do with women, but now is like very negative and used as like an insult. And oh, I posted this on our Instagram, but the snake is another example of something that was like a symbol of femininity, but it was like demonized very quickly over time, probably by the Catholic Church. And also insane, if you have read the yellow wallpaper, the fact that women just used to simply be locked in their bedrooms by their husbands, and it was like called the rest cure, and like doctors would like vouch for it. It was like supposed to be a cure for mental illness. Like if you had postpartum depression or something, they would just like lock you in your bedroom and then you just become more insane. Oh, it's astonishing.
Yeah, it's like you're showing emotions. You can't control your emotions. You're hysterical. You're crazy.
And then, oh, we're going to lock you in your bedroom and you're going to become more emotional and a mess. Oh, you must be not getting better. So we're going to keep you in there longer.
Even though we just pushed a baby out of us, but fine. Okay, so on a more positive note, we just wanted to tell you guys some things that we love about being a woman. And
Rachel's saying this like this is the last thing I feel like talking about right now, but
I'm not like a sappy type of person, but it's fine.
It doesn't have to be sappy. I just thought you were like ready to just be like embodied in your rage, which is fine too.
No, but I don't want to be angry on the pod.
You're like, you guys will get the pleasant side of me today.
Yeah, yesterday I was angry. Anyways, actually I'm always angry because how can I not be. I think you can also be angry and happy at the same time.
Well, I think now more than ever, we have to like remind ourselves why we love being women and how we can feel empowered and how we can empower each other. Do you want to go first?
So my biggest thing when it comes to just empowering other women is just being supportive, because I think women are always pinned against each other. I hear this narrative all the time, whether it's literally through jobs, through community, through school, like women are always pinned against each other. Like, who's the prettiest? Who's the skinniest? Who's the smartest? Who gets the most guys? Who's gonna get the better job? Everything is like a competition, and it shouldn't be that way. And just supporting other women and not putting, like, I hear, especially the older generations, sorry, but it's true, they love to put other women down. I hear it all the time. I hear the judgments. Oh, look at that. Like, anyone that's different or doesn't fit the norm, I hear judgments.
Or like talking about how other women dress. Like, I think that's like very common amongst the older generation. Like, I think that's a big one, like how they dress.
Women need to empower each other. They need to support each other, because that's the only way that we can rise above like all this stuff that's happening to us. And like, we're meant to be, you know, in a community and have like friends and like
sisters.
Yeah, like a sister tribe, you know? Like, we're meant to be with each other, and we can't pit each other against each other. We can't let men pit each other against us.
Pin us against each other.
Yeah, I was like, that didn't sound right. Yeah. Just if you find yourself like thinking negative things about another woman.
And you will, because it's very much like ingrained in us. Yes. You know?
You have to reverse it and think about, well, what about me makes me think that? And like, why am I thinking that?
Do I actually believe this?
Yeah.
Is a good one to ask yourself about anything, really.
Yeah, we got to start with the judging. It's really not helping anyone.
Being happy for other women, I think, will take you a long way. Will take us a long way as a collective.
Yeah, the energy you put out matters. I think everyone's heard that before, so don't be putting out that negative energy and that judgmental energy. It's not good. And trust me, like, we grew up in being surrounded by judgment. So it's hard to kind of like remove yourself from that, but it's possible.
And like, that's not even like, that's quite literally where we grew up in our town. It's not like anyone specific to blame. I think that's like the culture we were born into.
Like, I was growing up around fat phobia, slut shaming, like just things where it's almost normalized because that's like what you hear growing up as a child. But thankfully, you know, as I've gotten older, I've been able to recognize those things are not my true beliefs and not how I want to think or live my life.
Well said. She was like, no, I don't want to go first, and then hit us all with that. How am I going to follow that?
I think about it all the time, because like, I witness it all the time, and I'm just like, stop.
So I'll just follow that by giving you my short one. And well, yours was like how we could empower each other. I kind of wrote like what I love about being a woman. And I love interacting with other women in the bathroom at a club. And that's it. That's the tweet. No one will hype you up like a woman standing in line for the bathroom with you.
That's true.
So that's what we need. We need to see more of that in everyday life.
I've also found, if we're talking about empowering ourselves, last night I was like feeling pretty down, and I started working on making jewelry, and for a few minutes I really forgot about all the bad stuff. So I think
she's like, for literally 2 minutes I stopped thinking about it.
No, like when you are like feeling upset or frustrated, I think putting that into some kind of creative endeavor really makes a difference and helps.
Letting your energy go towards something creative rather than just letting it sit in your body and bubble and boil.
Especially if you don't have a job where you can show a lot of creativity, like finding something outside of your job where you can let the creative juices flow.
I like that. I also, since we already talked about how we're cyclical beings, I think that it's so amazing that our bodies are functioning differently depending on the week. And it's all part of this like complex cycle, and it's even more beautiful that it's something you can tune into. So something like another thing that I'm craving right now is like a better relationship or stronger relationship with my body. And And that's like a desire that I've never really felt before until now. So that's a really good feeling. And I think the intuitive nudge to start paying attention to my body and to tune into it is a great example of being empowered in my femininity. So there's just certain things like creativity or intuition that you can like tap into. And it's like a great direction for your energy to go.
Yeah, I'm trying to learn how to just look at my body as a body and not something that I need to change for outside perspectives. I don't need to change it for anyone.
Oh my God, like those videos where someone's like, I took this video from all angles so that I could know every single angle that I'll be perceived tonight when I go out or something. Oh
God. Yeah, like that's, we got to get out of that headspace because it doesn't matter.
Also, I love the right brain attributes that women have brought to civilization since the beginning. I love being emotional. I mean, I'm actually trying to tap in. I'm trying to get more emotional, to be honest. I don't think I'm emotional enough. But I think that the fact that we have the capacity to feel pain when we think about the harmful things being done to the earth, the harmful things that are happening to other women and other people, I think it's a blessing to be able to feel that. And I'm not saying that men don't, but I am a woman and I do. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yes. Get in touch with your emotions.
Yeah. And since you don't have any more, lastly, I love dancing. I love hearing an amazing song and dancing to it and feeling cute and feeling like a woman. And I created a playlist. Oh my God. I created a playlist that I will put in the show notes. It's called, I think I called it Feminine Energy. And do yourself a favor, listen to it, dance to it, listen to it in your car, listen to it while you're working out, listen to it while you're going for a walk. It makes you feel like a freaking woman. So I will link that. I also have a playlist called Songs for Dancing and Thriving Only. And those are the songs that I like to dance to just to like feel cute and feel like a woman. So I'll link both of those in the show notes, actually.
Yeah, there's something cathartic about dancing.
Oh my God, I know. It's like healing.
My grandma still dances like anytime. She like has metal knees, so she can't really like move her legs, but she'll move her upper body. And anytime there's music, she just dances anywhere. She doesn't care who's seeing her.
So just to be clear, this woman is an old Italian Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Is she Catholic?
Yes.
Old Italian Catholic woman that is pro-choice, teaches Rachel spells, and still dances with her metal knees. Can we have her on the podcast?
So with that, I think we talked about a lot.
We did.
It's been a journey of emotions.
It's been a lot to process. You said it's been a journey. It has been a journey. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Secrets of Nature Podcast. Make sure you write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Definitely follow us on Instagram because we're posting the photos that Marissa took of us. She made us look and feel like goddesses, and she's a wizard. So make sure you follow us to see her work, and we'll be tagging her as well. Maybe you want to work with her as well.
Yeah, the pictures came out great, so I'm excited to share them. Have a good day or night wherever you are.
Until next Friday.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
Bye.